On that note, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of Open Mic. This is Open Mic, one of the greatest radio shows in the history of mankind, bar none, according to me, and hopefully many others. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll take you up until 4 p.m., where it'll be Freddie and Harry from 4 to 6:25 in New York Yankees baseball game one as part of a four-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. And the Yankees currently are 5.5 games back of the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll touch on that in just a bit. Hope you enjoyed the best ofs on Thursday and Friday. And I am back to recap what was a great and fun weekend. No open mic tomorrow. Roger and I are live at Giants training camp, Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's all day tomorrow. Quinn Helfrich, Lucas Bagiri are making the trip. Lexi Carrero as well. It's an elite team, borderline the A team for that trip. Of course, Crystal Stone from WMIT News Channel 13. So Giants training camp tomorrow. I'll have open mic on Wednesday. No open mic Thursday because the Yankees are in the afternoon. And then open mic on Friday, live from Saratoga. And more updates to follow. I got some vacations coming up the next 2 weeks as well. Chris Lockwood is across the glass. Joe Lorenzo is absent yet again. And when, if there's any sort of paperwork that needs to be filled out internship-wise, Joe, if he keeps missing time, I don't know. Now, kidding aside, he's busy doing some good stuff over at UMass where he goes to school. Chris has got a couple of weeks left, and then he'll be on his way to the Bonnies. St. Bonaventure, former U Albany great Dan Amari Marshall, just out in their social media video. Chris and I were watching a little bit before the show, but he's with me, and you guys are with me as well, tuning in. And make sure you check out the Open Mic podcast. Search Open Mic with MJ. All episodes uploaded daily on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hope everybody had a great weekend, and it is time for my main event on this Monday, July the 28th.
What is Mike's main event? Find out now on Open Mic.
All right, quickly first, had a great weekend. Was off Thursday, Friday, celebrating my girlfriend Lauren's birthday. Was with her family out in Sayville, New York on Long Island. Had a great time. Had a boat day, played a lot of pickleball, which is very fun. Highly encourage anybody to play. True Pickleball is a great spot nearby. It's a great workout, too. And spent a lot of time in the backyard. I got a lovely house, awesome pool area, too. So that was great. Shot back from her apartment from in Connecticut this morning, and here we are. So it was a good weekend. That was why I was out on Thursday and Friday, and I fortunately did not watch a lot of the Yankees less than I usually do. And boy, am I glad that I didn't, because Thursday they didn't play. Friday, Saturday, they do not pitch well. The bullpen absolutely implodes, and the Yankees salvaged the sweep yesterday. The Mets are the talk of the town. For good reason. Mets are winners of seven straight. Yankees are slipping. They lose the series to the Phillies. They lose the series to the Blue Jays. You're now 5.5 games back. And it begs the question to all the Yankees fans out there. Can this Yankees team come back and win the AL East? You got about 60-ish, maybe. Might be just under games left. 5.5 back. What's it going to take for the Yankees? I'd say the trading deadline this Thursday. They acquire Ryan McMahon, who, I tell you what, ignore the batting average for now. He was with Colorado, who stinks beyond belief. Now he's rejuvenated with the Yankees. Yes, the average is, what, 217, 220. But, and it's a big but, he is already flashing and showcasing the leather. I mean, that dude made a diving catch at third, cannon of an arm. Big RBI yesterday in the win. Yankees got to Zach Wheeler. I know you lost the series, but that does not happen that often. Got to Zach Wheeler. Schlittler will go tonight in his third Major League Baseball start. And, you know, the Yankees are against good teams. Recently, the Yankees have struggled. I mean, those are the facts. And they need to acquire pitching at the trading deadline. Pitching. If you're Brian Cashman, I don't think I said that word enough. You need at least two bullpen arms. You need at least one other starter. And boy, oh boy, are the Yankees lucky they dodged a bullet with Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge could have been done for the year, but you need to be, Jeff Passan said it yesterday, you got to be very careful with the UCL flexor at his elbow. You need to be extremely cautious and careful not to rush Aaron Judge back, because if you rush him back too soon, he could get hurt and he could be done for the rest of the year. You got a chance to make the playoffs, make the wild card, maybe, now it's looking slim, winning the American League East. You need Aaron Judge on the field, period. doesn't matter, end of sentence, okay? But this is a series the Yankees have to go get. You need 3-4. I don't think a split is good enough. You need 3-4 against Tampa. You're within the division. Your record within the American League East is absolutely atrocious. And you need to be able to string together wins against good competitive teams. Last series in July, then the calendar flips to the month of August. You'll have a new look roster, right? Last year you acquired Jazz Chisholm. And you see about this year with who you're going to get at the trading. I like the move for McMahon. I like the move for Ahmed Rosario too. I really do like both moves for this Yankees team. And to think that people didn't take Toronto seriously, something tells me that has changed, because now they have a 5.5 game lead. I would say that's fairly commanding. They have the best record in the American League. In fact, they might have the best record in all. They have the best record in all of baseball. They're 20 games above 500. Best record in all of baseball. Lost yesterday, but won 3 of 4 against Detroit. And they take on Baltimore in a 4-game set, including a doubleheader tomorrow. So Toronto's schedule doesn't look hard this week. Yankees does, because the Yankees don't play well against the American League East. It'll be Drew Rasmussen against Cam Schlittler tonight, his third career start. See what he does. Tuesday is going to be Boyle against Fried. And I got to see what Fried does, and his ERA has kind of climbed up to a 2.62. Wednesday, it's going to be Warren against Littell. And then Thursday afternoon, there will be no open mic on Thursday. Pepio and Marcus Stroman, who looks with that lovely 6.09 ERA for Marcus Stroman. And the Yankees, again, you're able to beat the Braves. You take 2 of 3 there right out of the All-Star break. You lose 2 of 3 against the Toronto Blue Jays, and then you lose 2 of 3 against the Philadelphia Phillies. So it kills all any relative momentum that you had. So Yankee, this is, and Chris Lockwood just with an essay of stats, which is what I asked him to do, and he absolutely delivered. Well done. Yankees pitching slash defense in the month of July. 32 home runs, 116 runs, 14 errors. All are good for tops of Major League Baseball. It's a good stat. Well, not good for the errors part, I should say, but it's good for the home runs and the RBIs. Ahmed Rosario this year, 270. Good with the glove. 299 versus lefties. And Ahmed Rosario for Clayton Beter. He's got a 3.10 ERA in 18 games in AAA. 14.73 ERA in 2 MLB games, which is awful. And Ryan McMahon since May 1st, 246, right? Plus amazing defense, right? For Griffin Herring, of course. Yankees are 42-22 when they don't make an error. And they are 15-26 when they do. Might be the stat of the day. That very well might be the stat of the day. I don't know who we're giving it credit to. I probably can't say Chris because he found it somewhere, but Chris is the one who sent it to me, so that's good stuff right there. Aaron Judge told reporters that Aaron Boone told reporters that Aaron Judge is being placed on the injury list. Obviously, flex restraint, no tear in that UCL. Limited to DH only when he comes back off the 10-day IL. John Heyman quotes before we take a break here. Stat was talking Yanks with John Boy and Jake, by the way. Good save. The Yankees are buying, but they aren't nearly as aggressive a buyer as we all imagined when they were forging an early and large division lead that's long gone now. Their focus turns now to the bullpen, and they are eyeing the best of a shockingly excellent group of relievers potentially available. Ryan Helsley, Emmanuel Clase. So is that before or after the allegations just came out for Clase, who might be betting on himself to throw a ball in the first pitch of an inning? And if you don't believe me, look that up. So may want to steer clear of that. Cade Smith, Mason Miller, Joan Duren, and David Bednar are just some of the many glossy names on a long roster of relievers out there. They certainly aren't dealing their nearly untouchable prospects, George Lombard Jr. or Spencer Jones, for a reliever. Boy, that's good stuff from John Heyman from the New York Post. Yankees, these are like legitimate closers. So much for Devin Williams. Unless he's getting packaged at trade or he's going up earlier. But I do like the Rosario and McMahon moves. Makes the Yankees roster better. Going to take some of your calls here coming up in just a bit. Chris Lockwood, busy as ever. Busy Monday for the fellas here, but all good for WTMM 104.5, the team. Of course, just in case you forgot, in need of friendly reminder, open mic with me, MJ, Michael Johnson Jr., yours truly. It's sponsored by the Pet Lodge Clifton Park, right? And that owner, Matt Sands, big Yankees guy, long overdue to give him a call or text him, see where his mind is at with this Yankees team. But he owns the Pet Lodge of Clifton Park, and they just do simply amazing work. For over 20 years, they've been earning the trust of Capital Region pet parents with a world-class doggy daycare program, stress-free boarding, and expert obedience training. Brings out the best in every one of your dogs or cats, right? Conveniently located between exit 9 and 10 of the Northway. They're right in the heart of Clifton Park. Easy in, easy out, all with the peace of mind that your pet is loved and cared for by a team that treats them like family. Comes to you by generations of local pet owners. Choose the Pet Lodge of Clifton Park, where customer service, trust, and love are always in the air. Grab the brochure when you walk in on your left. And you take a look, and it's all spelled out for you. It's nice and easy. You're not jumping through hoops. You got friendly staff. You feel at home. You're a little nervous. You're a little anxious about leaving the dog with other people, other dogs. They make sure your dog is taken care of, right? Standard and luxury size boarding rooms. You got the dog for the dogs. You got the cat condos as well, kitty condos. Family discounts on boarding as well, and for holiday discounts as well. All your dogs will fill out. There'll be a simple evaluation form. They'll be properly vaccinated to be good, to be safe, to be happy, and to be having a lot of fun too. Of course, there's a number. It's 518-877-9663. There's also a website, petlodges.com, lodges with an S. Make sure you tell them that MJ sent you. From Open Mic on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and of course the free 104.5 The Team app. All right, we're going to do this a little differently. Before we get to a break, normally I would throw it to break right now and, you know, say, hot mic line, this is coming up, which I'm going to do. You don't want to keep some of your biggest supporters and avid listeners waiting. And we know he's a busy guy, and he's going to come in. He drops knowledge every single time he's on the show. It's Joe from Peekskill. Joe, how are we doing on this fine Monday?
Mike, I wasn't expecting an introduction right there. Uh-huh. Usually I was waiting for the Pet Lodge and then a little commercial break, so I appreciate it. But I had I was talking to my brother this morning, Josh, and we were talking about we have to be all in for Aaron Judge. So as much as we love the Spencer Jones, we also have to realize that his value is not going to be any higher than it probably is right now. Like, if I had to bet money, his value is at the tippy top of what it could be right now. So you either have to find a way to get a Trent Grisham out of here, or like a relief pitcher or a starting pitcher, or you have to trade Spencer Jones and find that way, because his value is never going to be better. And I think that we have to have that mindset, because how many times am I going to hear how great these people are? We don't have time to wait. Judge, we don't have time to wait for that. We saw it with Andujar. We saw it with Clint Frazier. We saw it with Gary Sanchez. We've seen it, okay? I know how great this pipeline is, but we need to start banking on it. Either we bank on Spencer Jones right now with his hot bat, we bring him up. I want that experience. I want to see it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to see it at the major level. Or we're trading him for something elite. All right, so I thank you for taking my call. Go Pacers.
I got him. He said... He was going for it that time. He's had me at about three straight for the Dalton. Joe, dropping knowledge as always. Brings up a good point. When now with Aaron Judge, he's in his 30s. What do you do? The age-old question with Brian Cashman, do you get rid of prospects or do you go aggressive for these relievers and give up prospects, right? That's, or do you hang on to them and give them a chance? Good stuff from Joe from Peekskill. Got to take more of your calls. Do you agree with Joe? Do you disagree? Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me regarding this Yankees team on as far as how all in they have to be? And we're also going to talk some Mets because they've won 7 straight and they deserve the love. And the Red Sox took 2 of 3 against the Dodgers here. Don't want to be Yankees homers, as RW loves to refer to me, MJ, as. But call in right now. Chris Lockwood is busy as ever, but he's not too busy to answer your phone calls if they come through. That number is 518-476-1045. 518-476-1045. 518-476-1045. You want to talk some Yankees? I want to hear from you, Yankees fans, and Mets fans as well. Your opportunity's next on the Monday edition of Open Mic on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. And this is the Monday edition of Open Mic here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app. Going to be joined by Gary Apple of SNY. Going to be talking some Mets baseball coming up at 3:30. And, of course, the phone lines are open. Chris Lockwood across the glass. Might have some shy callers, but... hop aboard, talk some Yankees, talk some Mets, and more. That number is 518-476-1045. 518-476-1045. See who you want your team to acquire coming in the trading deadline. And do you think the Yankees, to the Yankees fans out there, do you think that they can still win this American League East, or do you think it's Toronto's to lose? But first, I got to get to the Mets, because this Mets team has won 7 straight. Yeah, they deserve a lot of credit for it, and they are playing some good baseball under manager Carlos Mendoza, to say the least, right? And they're now a game and a half up on the Phillies. You know, the Phillies losing the game to the Yankees. Nope, but the sweep of the Giants on the West Coast. Local product Matt Gage obviously got his start. And speaking of local products, I got sent this by Shaker boy himself, Vinny Fredericks. Tommy Case just was at Shaker. Signs with the Dodgers for $422,500. 272.5 counts versus bonus pool. Largest NDFA bonus in 2025. New York prep right into pitcher fastball to 94 miles an hour. Good feel for spin. St. John's recruit. How about that? And talk about this Mets team. Ronnie Mauricio goes 4-for-4. Starling Marte is hitting .345 in his last 40 games. And he's 36 years old, too. A lot of different guys are making impacts and contributing. Mets swept the Giants. They swept the Angels. And they won the last game of the series against the Reds. They go to the Padres tonight. But to me, in a game where Alonso goes 0-for-5, you need the bottom of the order to step up. And it was Ronnie Mauricio. 4-for-4. Phenomenal game. Two RBIs had a home run as well. And the pitching. I mean, Senga didn't really have it. Didn't pitch well. ERA's back up to a 2. But the Mets bullpen shut the door yesterday, and that's where they made their move. Pitching ERA and the 7-game win streak overall is a 2.29. Starting pitching 3.03. Relief bullpen's been rock solid. Unlike the Yankees, might I add, it's a 1.32 ERA. Batting 2.48. So not great, but the pitching's been rock solid. And you're 18 games above 500. You're one of the best records in the National League. Now you need to try to go acquire position guys. Center fielder maybe with a better bat than Tyrone Taylor, right? I'd say another starting pitcher, and I'd say you can never go. Every single team, it's so funny, like, we probably need some pitching. Every team wants bullpen help. You always need bullpen help come October. That's how you win and lose games. And the Mets rotation right now, to be exact, I don't think can, like, scares you to the core if you're another team. Like, they don't have a Zach Wheeler, right? They don't have a Tarek Skubal. They don't have a legitimate ace. Senga's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But will he be good in October with his injury-plagued career? We don't know. Sean Manaea was really good last year in October. He was. But can he keep that up? Or was that lightning in a bottle? Another one of these instances where you don't know, right? You don't know. That could be another one that's a little dicey, a little tricky for this Mets team in the National League. But this is a team that's playing good baseball at the right time. Reddit's calendar is about to turn to August. Mendoza's saying the right things. David Stearns, I think, is going to be aggressive. He's been very honest and direct, unlike Brian Cashman here recently with the trade deadline coming up on Thursday the 31st. But they go to the San Diego Padres, and it'll be Montas tonight against Dylan Cease. Cease is a guy that could be rumored to the Yankees and a lot of different teams, too. And Montas has been okay. He's been okay. 3-1, 4.62 ERA. Manaea's got a 2.19, so he's been really good since he's come back. And then Wednesday, it will be Clay Holmes going against Nick Pivetta. Pivetta's been really good for the Padres. Clay's been more than solid, too. But, like, if you're rolling out Sean Manaea, David Peterson, Kodai Senga, Clay Holmes, and let's say a fifth you pick up, is that intimidating enough? Or let me preface it by saying, is that good enough to make a deep run? I don't know that it is if you're the Mets. I think the offense is really good. I think the pitching has had its moments. I think you need a couple more pieces. The Mets, they're going to be a playoff team. They might even make it back to the NLCS to take that next step. I think they need one more, and this is just me, my own personal opinion. I think they need one more piece to be near the top of that rotation, another bullpen piece as well, as do a lot of teams. But the Mets are rolling 7 straight. Excited to pick Gary Appel's brain about the Mets coming up here in just a bit. But the Boston Red Sox do deserve a mention, as much as it shakes me to the core, giving them the love they deserve. They did take 2 of 3 against the Dodgers, something the Yankees could not do, and they go to the Minnesota Twins tonight. And it's a Red Sox team that is centered around inconsistent pitching and really inconsistent offensive play, too. But Roman Anthony is starting to get much more acclimated to the Red Sox. His average is up to .267. And this is a guy that just couldn't hit back a while ago. But now he's crushing it. Alex Bregman as well with a home run yesterday. And Jaron Duran, who was a guy that was rumored to be traded, is hitting .259. He was 1-for-4. And if you're the Red Sox, you were initially going to be sellers. Now I think you have no choice, but to be buyers. And for Boston, you have to be You have to be aggressive. You do, because you're in this thing. You're in the hunt. You have a chance to be one of the last wildcard teams in the American League. And I think that, you know, Alex Bregman back in this lineup, Roman Anthony being up in this lineup, and the pitching as well can be a little up and down. That's for sure. Bayo's been good, not great. Garrett Crochet's been excellent, right? It's the same thing with any team. Really, the Yankees, you can say it too, the start of pitching. Inconsistent for the Red Sox. But the trade deadline is going to be the story and the theme of the week between now and when I'm back on the air Wednesday. See if there's any further developments. But going to talk some more New York Mets baseball with Gary Appel from SNY. Stay tuned. Muscles and Radio next on the Monday edition of Open Mic 104.5. The team. Well, all the New York Mets do these days is win. Winners of seven straight. Welcome back to Open Mic here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5 The Team app. We are, of course, the Capital Region's home for New York sports and beyond. And this Mets team has swept the Angels, swept the Giants. They head to San Diego to take on the Padres for first of three tonight, 9:40 Eastern pitch time. And you see this gentleman's fine work frequently on SNY. It's Gary Appel, of course. He's the New York Mets pre- and post-game TV host. He worked at WNYT News Channel 13 back in the day, where my co-host in the mornings, Roger Weiland, worked, of course. Gary's been on that show, makes his debut here with me on Open Mic. Gary, it's a pleasure to have you on my show. Hope all is well. Thanks so much. How are you?
My pleasure, Mike. Hope you're well.
I'm good, Gary. I'm good, and I think Mets fans are well. It's safe to say, right, with this recent stretch of play, winners of seven straight. You're obviously in the know, Gary, with this team. What has stood out to you? A couple things that have stood out to you the most amidst this this seven game win streak for the Mets.
Well, I think a couple of things. Bullpen has been terrific. They've gotten terrific work out of the pen, and I think the second thing that's maybe even more impactful is the fact that they've gotten length out of their lineup. We've been waiting for Vientos and Brett Beatty and Ronnie Mauricio and guys, after you get past the top of that lineup, after you get past Nimmo and Lindor and Soto and Alonso, they needed the 5-9 holes to really pick up. And they have Francisco Alvarez is back. And since he's come back, the Mets have not lost a game yet. So I think the fact that the lineup has been lengthened here, they're getting production from the 5-9 hitters in the lineup. And I think that has been the number one thing that has really spurred the seven-game winning streak that has gotten this team back on track. And then you can go back to the starting pitching. They're finally healthy in that rotation for the first time. This is the rotation they envisioned when they got to spring training with Senga and Peterson and the rest of them. Montas is back and Shamania is back and Clay Holmes. So I think that's, when you put all those things together, I think that's a big reason the Mets are now 18 games over 500 again.
Yeah, they are. And also, you mentioned Francisco Alvarez. Piggybacking off of that, how beneficial was it for him to be sent down, goes on this tear, and just, it seems like it's night and day to me, Gary, his confidence now at the plate?
I think you hit it on the head. I think his confidence is a big deal. He had two more hits in the game last night. He's driving the baseball. I thought we saw his double, his second hit last night out in San Francisco, went to the gap out in right center. That's when he's at his very best, and not just from an offensive standpoint, but he's blocking the baseball behind the plate. And that was a big part of him getting sent back down, because they felt like he had regressed a little bit from a defensive standpoint, and that has been night and day since he's come back. So it was necessary to send him down. He didn't want to go down, but he handled it unbelievably. He went down with the right attitude. He hit, I think, 11 home runs in his last 15 games, Syracuse. And so, you know, listening to David Stearns and the rest of the Mets brass, they really were impressed by the way he, again, didn't want to go down, but he went down there with an open mind and he worked really hard. And he came back up sooner than they anticipated he would come back up. And I think it was due to his attitude and his production down there.
Yeah, it certainly was. And it's evident right now. And right, like you mentioned, they haven't lost a game since he's been up. So Alvarez being a good luck charm yet again with this Mets team. What is a game like Ronnie Mauricio had going 4-4? What does that do for his confidence individually here moving forward? As you mentioned, Gary, one of those key guys contributing in those spots of the batting lineup 5-9.
Well, I think, first of all, you know, there's been a trade deadline coming up on Thursday at 6:00 Eastern. You know, I guarantee that there are teams inquiring about some of the guys who are part of the logjam on that infield when you think about Acuña, Vientos, Mauricio, and Beatty. And Carlos Mendoza does an amazing job of finding playing time and not letting guys sit for too long on the bench. But Mauricio is a guy who they've asked a lot of. He missed over a full year coming back from a couple of knee surgeries. And so they threw him back into the fire. He's another guy they brought up probably sooner than they would have liked to do. And so, you know, what he's done is amazing because he's got incredible talent. He hits the baseball harder than almost anybody in the game. He's got great power. He's a big guy. He gets it done at third base. But from a go back to a confidence standpoint, for a young player, the ability to do what he did last night. I mean, San Francisco has terrific pitching, which I think makes the sweep of the Giants even a little bit more impressive. The fact that they beat Logan Webb and Robbie Ray and what a bullpen game last night. But I think that's invaluable, what we saw from Mauricio. I don't think he's going anywhere. I would be shocked if he goes anywhere. I think this, they think the ceiling is very high for Ronnie Mauricio. And I think last night was an indicator as to why that's the case.
Now on to the San Diego Padres, Gary. And to finish off this West Coast trip, it's a Padres team that, of course, is good. 8 games above 500 out of the NL West. How do you think this series is going to shake up with Game 1 tonight at 9:40 at Petco Park?
Yeah, I love where the Mets are right now. Yes, it's a very good San Diego team. But the Mets have taken care of, they're coming off back-to-back sweeps of the Angels and then the Giants. And just to really drive home how difficult that sweep was in San Francisco, this is somewhat of a desperate Giants team right now. They are, you know, at this place, trade deadline, are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? Are they going to go for it? So that was a really important series for the Giants, and the Mets swept them in that series, which I think adds a little bit more oomph to that mm-hmm. sweep. Mm-hmm. So they go to San Diego, and the Padres are going for it as well. But they're in a little bit of a precarious position as well. They're kind of hanging on. I like the Mets down in San Diego. Montas starts Game 1 tonight. He's been very good since finally getting back onto the mound for the Mets. I like the way their pitching sets up. So I like where the Mets are at. I like this matchup down in San Diego. Are they going to sweep the Padres? A tall task. But once you get rolling the way they are right now, the 7-game winning streak, which ties for their longest of the season, I think they're in a really good place going into this series in San Diego. They're facing Dylan Cease tonight. Won't be easy. He's a little bit of an enigma himself. Yeah. But I like where the Mets are going into this series.
Yeah, hard not to. Certainly hard not to. You mentioned the trade deadline, Gary, Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern. What you're hearing or just from being around this team, where do you feel are a few needs that the Mets should address and maybe David Stearns is working to address to help bolster this roster to make him a legitimate threat to get to the World Series?
Well, I think there's another bullpen arm that they'll go after. I think he did a really good job, of picking up Gregory Soto, that second lefty in the bullpen to go along with Brooks Raley, who's back now. I think that really important, a big pickup. I do think he will look for more bullpen depth. I think the one real caveat here is, are they going to go after a frontline starter? And that is something that Buster Olney on the game last night on ESPN said that he believes they're going to do. David plays it really close to the vest, but I do believe that they are looking for a starter of significant magnitude. Will they go after Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins? Mm-hmm. Edward Cabrera down there is somebody who I think they're going to definitely kick the tires on. We know about the guys out in Arizona, guys like Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen. I do think they'll go after somebody because, you know, Clay Holmes, he's been really good through his 20 starts, but he's become a 5-inning pitcher. And is he a guy they'll have start a playoff game? I don't know about that. I mean, could they potentially piggyback, you know, Clay Holmes with somebody else in a playoff game? But I think they will go after a frontline starter here. I think that will be a point of emphasis. Will they pull it off? We'll see. I hear the teams have been asking about Mark Vientos. I personally would not want to let Vientos go. I think there's too much upside. We saw what he did last year, right? In hitting the 27 home runs, knocking in over 70 runs, not coming up full time until in the month of May.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say they will look to add a frontline starter. Will I be shocked if they get one? No, I won't be. But I think it's going to be really compelling to see who they give up. I've heard for a guy like Alcantara. Now he's coming off Tommy John surgery.
Sure.
He has not had a great year this year. And that happens quite a bit with pitchers coming off Tommy John. You need that full season under your belt to really, you know, kick it back into gear. But I've heard that to get a guy like Alcantara, you're probably going to have to give up two top 10 prospects. You know, they've got like guys like Brandon Sproat and Nolan McLean down in the minors. Will they give up one of those guys? I think you're going to have to get a pitcher of that magnitude. So we'll see. I know this. The Mets are going to go for it this year. They're in position, you know, to win a World Series. So if they feel they need to do that to win a World Series, won't shock me at all.
It's going to be exciting to see how it plays out. That's for sure. Trading deadline Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Talking some Mets baseball with Gary Appel, SNY New York Mets pre- and post-game. Host does great work. And Gary, you mentioned the starters going for frontline starters. Curious to get your thoughts on how you think Sean Manaea and Kodai Senga have both done. Early impressions of them since they have come off the injured list here recently. Safe to say, the 1-2 punch for the Mets atop the rotation.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress right now. Senga, you know, they stretched him out to 92 pitches last start, and they want to build him back up. He was spectacular before he went down, you know, with the injury. He's not had his command in quite the same way since he's come back, but I'm going to chalk that up to the fact that, you know, he's a perfectionist, and really the mechanics are so important for him, and he had that month off. I think he's trying to reestablish and find those mechanics again. Do I think he's going to be fine? I do think he's going to be fine. Manaea, I think the key for Sean is he's got to stay healthy. I think he's looked good since he's come back. And again, they're trying to build him back up, but not just the oblique. I think he's past the oblique that shut him down for so long. But the loose body in his elbow, that's something that is of concern and bears constant watching. I think he's looked good so far. I think his arm angle has changed just the slightest amount. You know, he really dropped it last year. I think he's still finding his way back. I really don't have concerns about those guys. I think my bigger concern is about Clay Holmes. And can he hold up? And can he last? Can he be more than a five-inning pitcher? Which is why, and listen, will McGill come back? Tyler, you know, that's a big question as well.
Yeah.
So I do think a frontline starter would go a long way for this team just because there are those question marks.
Yeah.
And the Mets aren't the only team with those question marks. Listen, we've seen what's happened with the Dodgers, the amount of attrition they've had from their starting pitching. It goes on around the league. But I think Senga and Manaea are just fine. I think it's a process. When you think about Manaea, he missed, you know, months. So he's made three appearances, two starts, one out of the bullpen. It's like he's pitching in April.
Yeah.
So I think they just want to get him to a place where you get into September, he's, you know, really firing on all cylinders.
Yes, that'll be key. Gary, one more before I let you go. Sure. What's it like working with Gary, Keith, and Ron? Because the chemistry is just so obvious. And Todd Zeal, too. He's included in that. We've had Todd on the show a couple times, and he's a great guy. He was inducted into our New York State Baseball Hall of Fame here in the Capital Region here. Well-deserving, of course. What's it like working with that great crew on SNY? Because when watching you guys, it's obvious the chemistry is there, and I'm sure it's the same off-air, too.
Yeah, listen, I think I'm very fortunate. This is my 20th year.
Yeah.
Excuse me, at SNY and doing Mets baseball, and so fortunate to be a part of this group. I mean, you find puzzle pieces. You know, you talk about chemistry with teams and to find the puzzle pieces that fit together and the way it has worked so well for all these years. I got to tell you, I'm very fortunate. I have good relationships with all of them. And I think there's a like on the air and off the air and respect on the air and off the air. And I think that shows, and I'll say this, and you know, Todd and I have known each other for over 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd and I, were kind of starting out around the same time. After I left Albany, I went to St. Louis, and Todd was just coming up with the Cardinals. And so that's how long we've known each other. We became friendly back then. But again, I think it goes back to when the network started and Fred Wilpon, the former majority owner of the Mets, you know, said to us, listen, want you to be honest on the air. I have no problem with criticism as long as it is honest baseball criticism. Don't bring anything personal into it. If you have a personal problem with a player, don't bring that onto the air, but bring honest assessment, analysis, and knowledge to the broadcast, both in the studio and in the booth. And I think that really set the tone for these 20 years of Mets baseball on SNY. And again, I go back to saying it's a terrific group, both on the air and behind the scenes. Our producers who have been there since day one as well, Greg Picker in the truck, Gerard Guilfoyle in the studio, makes a big difference. And so we have that knowledge of each other and that comfort level with each other. And I think that goes a long way into bringing the viewers. They feel that. The viewers feel that, yeah. And they come to expect that. And I think that makes a big difference.
It does. You notice it. It's very obvious when watching, Gary. And look, keep up the great work. Really, really enjoyed you hopping on. Gary Apple, of course, the great Gary Apple with Cal Region Ties, formerly of WMYT News Channel 13, back in the day.
It was way back in the day. Listen, I grew up in Troy, so my roots are very deep in the Capital Region. Yeah. And I thank you for having me on. Great talk to you, Mike.
Yes, absolutely. All the best, Gary. Enjoy the coverage. Keep up the great work. Would love to do it again soon. Roger sends his best, too. But thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Say hi. My pleasure. We'll see you 9 o'clock tonight. Pre-game coverage. It's a late night of Mets baseball.
Yes, we will. We'll be tuning in. The great Gary Apple on open mic. Really good stuff. Wow, he's class act at Albany Ties, too. Does great work for SNY. All right, Chris Lockwood and the mic drop is next on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5 The Team app. I tell you what. I've had some help recently, too, and it's from a lot of great interns around here. Chris Lockwood, one of them, Joe Lorenzo, who we missed. Man, that's a good segue I just did. Anyways, coming up next, let's get to the mic drop here on a Monday.
Now it's time for MJ's Mic Drop on Open Mic on 104.5 The Team.
Cam Schlittler tonight, start number 3. 7 shutout innings against the Tampa Bay Rays. A little over 100 pitches. So I'm going to go 8 strikeouts. 6 hits, 2 walks, 7 shutout innings for Cam Schlittler and the Yankees. And also a little bit of, I don't know if it's really a mic drop, but like just really looking forward to being at Giants training camp tomorrow. It's my 4th year going. Quest Diagnostics Training Center, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Do they know I'm a Cowboys fan? Probably not. I'm going to probably keep it that way. I'm not going to don my Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb jersey there. But now the media people at the Giants do a great job. Pat Hanlon and Dion, Brian Daboll, we got to meet last year. Probably see him again. He's gained a little bit of the weight back. Last year, he was like insanely thin. Abdul Carter is going to be around. We get to interview some guys radio side. Roger gets some TV. It's a fun day. And it's also going to be over 100 degrees. So that'll be fun. It's always the hottest day of the summer when we are there. All right. It's always just must listen radio when this gentleman is here. There's no Joe Lorenzo again, but Chris Lockwood has stayed loyal, and summer's going by too fast. He's going to be at St. Bonaventure before we know it, but he's still here, still part of Open Mic, which is huge and is clutch. What's up, Chris? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great today. Yeah. Like you said, summer's flying by. It's crazy.
How in the world it's going to be August 1st, Friday? I have no idea. To think you started on May 19th.
That's wild.
Bittersweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Bittersweet, right? Right when the weather started turning nice. Unbelievable. You didn't know what to expect, and here we are.
Here we are.
So the Yankees, quickly, I want to get your take on, because you're a big Yankees fan like myself. And you have the podcast, too, right?
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
Bronx Banter on Instagram, YouTube videos as well, Bronx_Banter.
That's huge. Well done. Professional plug.
Great.
That's well done by you. So the Yankees, not great right now. Not great.
No.
They are 5.5 back of Toronto. Do you think now it's more realistic that the Yankees should shift their goals to, okay, let's make the playoffs and be a wild card team, or should they still be like, all right, we're 5.5 back, but we can still find a way somehow to win this AL East?
So I think they should still have the same mentality about winning the AL East, but at the same time, I don't think they will win the AL East, if that makes sense, just because they would have to, so many things would have to go right. They already don't have the tiebreaker over Toronto, no matter what happens. Toronto's beat them too much. So now you have to hope Toronto goes on this crazy losing streak and the Yankees go on this crazy winning streak. I would be happy if they're a wild card team.
Okay.
Because once it's the playoffs,
get in.
Anything can happen.
Get in.
Anything can happen in the playoffs, but I still have faith in them. The schedule does get a lot easier starting tonight with the struggling Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, see how it goes. Schlittler on the bump against Rasmussen, right, for the Rays.
Yep.
He's pretty good, too,
especially against the
Yankees. And the Yankees don't do well against the AL East, but that'll be 6:25 pregame coverage right here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and 7:05. First pitch for the 4-game series at the stadium. All right, it's become a tradition. You've got some games for me.
So, it's tradition now.
All right, what do we,
So
what are we working with now?
We have two blind rankings today. I honestly kind of forgot to think of games until I was listening to the Gary Apple interview. Great interview, by the way. I mean,
phenomenal.
That was incredible.
Well done. Yeah,
but
he was good.
Yeah, I just kind of thought of some stuff on the fly. Uh-huh. So it's still great work, though. Always the best work out of me.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
all right.
Today we are going to be blind ranking old NBA logos. Tell me if I'm wrong. All the old NBA logos were so much better than the new ones.
Mm.
And to help you, I have pictures. I will be sending them to you one by one so you have a visual, which I think will be very helpful.
Okay.
So, as always, blind ranking 1 through 5. First, we have the old Pistons logo. Pistons logo from 1996 to 2002. I think this logo is much better than their current one, which is just a basketball with some red and blue.
It certainly is. The flames are nice behind the, what's that, a horse? Yeah, Pistons.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3. Pistons
three
logo, 3,
Pistons.
Right where we go right down the middle with 3.
Perfect. Next up, you have the Toronto Raptors logo from 1996 to 2008. Vince Carter-esque with the purple and the actual raptor on it. This is one of the best logos in...
I mean, it could be one I'm going to. I really like this logo.
All of these are very good, I'm
going
to tell you now.
I'm going to. I really like that one.
Next up, we have the Memphis... They were the Vancouver Grizzlies, and then they turned to the Memphis Grizzlies with the same logo from 1996 till 2004. I think this is also a very strong logo. Love the like greenish teal color that
school
they have.
School coloring. Yeah, it's pretty cool for sure. I'll go 5, but just because you said it's a strong list, I mean, there's a case to be made that it could be B4 higher. It's a pretty cool logo. I'll go 5, though, with that one. We'll go 5.
Go 5 with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Next up, you have, I think of Allen Iverson with this, 76ers old logo.
Oh, this is going to be tough. This is
got
tough. This
gold
is hard
with
to,
the nice.
This is hard to top.
The nice blue and white behind the basketball. The logos were just so much cleaner. Now
this is for me, unless it's something crazy that I'll be stunned by. This is one for me. I like old Philly, or old Toronto. I really like those logos. Like they used to be so cool looking. The old Iverson jerseys, the step over AI. I'm going 1 for Philly. I'm gonna go 1.
This last one. This is my personal favorite,
uh-huh.
but we might not have the same taste.
Uh-huh.
We have the 1996 to 2004 Utah Jazz logo with the mountains in the background, the purple. John Stockton comes to mind when
good.
I see this.
It's good.
That's
Karl Malone.
A great
that's
one.
Good. It's 4 for me at the end of the day, but I would have it go as high as 2.
I mean,
really
these
do
these
like
are
that
all
logo.
Great logos.
That's a hard one. It's a pick'em. I mean,
yeah,
it really
I
is.
Mean, all of these could be, honestly, number 1, and I would not have any problems with that, really.
So
I mean,
good. Nice retro list there. All right, that's a good list.
All the logos now, they try to be too minimalistic.
They do. It's like there's no flash
They're
anymore.
All just
boring.
Basketballs with nothing in the middle, just colors.
Yeah. Boring. All right.
My second blind ranking.
Oh, boy.
Not sports related, because we switch it up around here.
We're cultured on Open
Oh,
Mind.
Yeah.
We
one
are.
Sports related, one non-sports related. Today, we are going to be blind ranking sitcoms. Everyone loves a good sitcom. Nice TV show.
Oh, sure.
I tried to go with ones that everyone knows. These are five of the most popular ones. First up, we have How I Met Your Mother.
Ooh. Four? I'll go 4.
Perfect.
4 How I Met Your Mother. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have my personal favorite. I don't know if it's everyone else. My personal favorite, Seinfeld. Love Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's one for me too. That's
it's
the one of the
shit.
That's the sitcom.
It's
I think that's
an incredible
the
show.
The amount of times that's been used in like college courses with how good it like that's one for me. Seinfeld, yeah. I agree, that's one.
I've never watched this one, but I know it is very popular. New Girl.
New Girl. Just because I know there's gonna be more on the list, I'll go with 5,
okay.
but I hope I don't regret it.
I don't think you will.
Okay.
Next up we have The Office.
Oh man, I would say that could be 1, 2. That's a hard 2.
Yeah, the
strong
Office
2.
Is really
that's
good.
Really could be 1, 2. Yeah.
So your number 3 spot.
Yeah.
One of the best intro songs of all time, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay. I'll live with that at 3. Yeah, phenomenal intro song. Good show. I'm okay with that. At
I think
3.
That's a pretty good
that's
list.
That's a good
honestly.
List.
Seinfeld and The Office. Seinfeld and The Office are the clear 1-2 in my opinion.
Yes,
they're
they are, and they
shows.
Can be interchangeable. All right, that's 2 for 2 on the games. Do you agree Schlittler tonight will go out there and...
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because our bullpen, they used the top 3 bullpen guys, Weaver, Hill, and Devin Williams last night, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is the confidence
they need to trade for a bullpen arm.
Yeah, who else you say? Who do you want to see the Yankees go and get? Because we only have three shows this week.
So I want Monday, Johan Wednesday, Duran. Friday. I want Johan Duran.
He's Minnesota?
From the Twins.
Yeah. Flamethrower.
Throws like 103.
Yeah, good closer, too. I think his stats are good. Got a sick entrance, too.
I saw the Yankees were also interested in Harrison Bader, so maybe a little package deal because he's on the Twins. We need a righty outfielder.
Now, Bader, people forget, Bader was like the Yankees' best hitter
sick.
That postseason.
In 2022, he was cool.
Him and Rizzo were the only guys who could hit.
Yeah, and if he can do that again in the postseason, I could very well see them trading a Trent Grisham, which I don't know how. Trent Grisham's been one of our best hitters.
I know.
They just have so many lefty outfielders.
They need to get rid of him. Yeah, one of these guys. Like, I agree. And Bader, I miss the mouth biting in the mouthpiece, and I miss the, like, thick eye black.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's he's a baller.
He's just got swag on the field.
He does have swag. Yankees need some more swag. How about the Mets? Quick note on them. 7 straight. I know it might pain you to admit, but the Mets are playing good baseball.
Yeah, it's impressive. They're definitely playing some of their best baseball of the year. And even Edwin Diaz last night did not look good. He had bases loaded, one out.
Got
and
out
then,
of it.
And then he just threw 6 straight high fastballs all at 100 miles an hour and got out of it.
What a way.
He's had an incredible season. Like
he's looking like Seattle in 2022 would it have been, Edwin Diaz. Yeah, pre-injury Diaz.
Incredible.
Yeah, Mets are good. Yankees not so good, but hopefully they will be tonight. Thank you, Chris, as always. Good stuff. We'll do this again on Wednesday for the Wednesday edition of Open Mic. New York Yankees baseball, of course, tune in. Dave Sims, Susan Waldman, Emmanuel Barbari with the call. 6:25 pregame coverage, 7:05 first pitch, Yankees and Rays. Freddie and Harry with Eric Hanneman. Next on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and the free 104.5 The Team app.
This has been Open Mic with MJ on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.